I'd ask you to turn in your Bibles to Romans 12. There we'll begin reading at verse 9. Hear now God's holy word. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So far, the reading of God's holy word. I'd ask you would also turn with me in the back of your Psalters to Lord's Day 40. It can be found on page 891. There the question is asked, what is God's will for you in the sixth commandment? I am not to belittle, hate, insult, or kill my neighbor, not by my thoughts, my words, my look, or gesture, and certainly not by actual deeds. I am not to be party to this in others. Rather, I am to put away all desire for revenge. I am not to harm or recklessly endanger myself either. Prevention of murder is also why government is armed with the sword. Does this commandment refer only to murder? By forbidding murder, God teaches us that he hates the root of murder: envy, hatred, anger, vengefulness. In God's sight, all such are disguised forms of murder. Is it enough then that we do not murder our neighbor in any such way? No, by condemning envy, hatred, and anger, God wants us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly toward them, to protect them from harm as much as we can, and to do good even to our enemies. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it seems as though many North Americans consider the Ten Commandments very dangerous. When people want to put them up at work or in classrooms or at courthouses, there are those who want to take them down. A while back, there was a cartoon depicting two public school administrators watching a line of students pass a metal detector. As these students are passing through the metal detector, the one administrator explains to the other, it's the latest in school safety devices. That light and horn go off if a student tries to smuggle in a gun, knife, bomb, or a copy of the Ten Commandments. Today, almost all of the Ten Commandments cause a controversy where people in the world don't like them, or see them as a threat or a restriction on their lives. People strongly object to the first commandment
because it rules out other gods. They don't really see the point of the fourth commandment, which requires a weekly day of rest. And they don't like the commandment to honor our father and our mother, to honor authority. They don't like authority. They enjoy indulging in a little sexual sin every now and then, in adultery and homosexuality. So they don't care much also for the seventh commandment. And we could go on and on. But there is one commandment everyone still seems to accept, the sixth commandment. No one approves of murder. It is so contrary to the law of nature that every culture has some sort of prohibition against murder. However, when we study the sixth commandment carefully and come to understand its full implications, then we find how blatantly and brutally this commandment is also violated, and where people really don't want nothing to do with it either. I bring you God's word as summarized for us in Lord's Day 40 with the simple theme, you shall not murder. Beloved, there are many different words for killing in the Hebrew language, and the one used here in the sixth commandment has been chosen carefully. What the commandment forbids is not killing, but the unlawful killing of a human being. Here is also why the sixth commandment is translated properly by saying, you shall not murder. Murder is a premeditated, unjust taking of a human life. It applies to murder in cold blood, manslaughter with a passionate rage, and negligent homicide resulting from recklessness or carelessness. The bottom line is that we may never kill someone unlawfully. And God makes clear in His Word why. God said in Genesis 9, verse 6, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. What makes life so precious is that every human being from conception on is made in the image of God. John Calvin wrote, our neighbor bears the image of God. To use him, abuse him, or misuse him is to do violence to the person of God who images himself in every human soul. Beloved, God has put a stamp, his stamp, on every one of us, the way a great artist signs his name to a work of art. Psalm 139, verse 13, is speaking about God, says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so, to damage a life or take away a life unlawfully, no matter at what stage that life may be in, is to destroy one of God's masterpieces. And so the sixth commandment preserves the sanctity of human life made in God's image. The sixth commandment also preserves God's sovereignty over life and death. God is the Lord of life. Acts 17 verse 25 tells us that God himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. In him we live and move and have our being. What is clear is that since God is the giver of life, it is also his prerogative to take it and to do so at his own time in his own way. The sovereignty of God is always at stake in matters of life and death. We read in Romans 12, verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, the sixth commandment has important implications for our contemporary society. People like to think that we live in civilized times, but we are living in angry, violent times, when murder in all forms is very common and no one thinks anything about it. There is such a callous disregard for human life that we may rightly say that we are living in what one person called the culture of death. Death is everywhere, especially in the bigger cities. Almost every day there is a shooting. Every day, hundreds of people, or every year, hundreds of people die from rampages of violence. Students are shooting other students in schools and campuses in North America. Then there's a murder on our freeways out of rage on the part of people. There's a rise of violence in homes. And one of the greater tragedies of all, and what has become truly a Holocaust, is the murder of babies in the wombs of their mothers through abortion. These numbers are astronomical, what takes place every year. And we live in a society that thinks that this is okay. Sadly, this past week in New York State, the governor was given a loud applause from the audience when he spoke of how now a baby's life can be taken right up to the end of the third trimester. And even after coming out of the womb, in the state of Virginia, they also tried to pass a bill that would allow a woman to get rid of her baby after it was born as well. And the governor of Virginia, who is even a pediatric doctor, said this to the audience. The infant would be delivered, the infant would be kept comfortable, the infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the doctor and the mother to see if she still wanted the baby. If not, they would put it to death. Look, how awful isn't all of this? It's unimaginable. It is unbelievable. It is infanticide, the murdering of infants. All of this is plain murder. And you have an audience that applauds this kind of stuff. We are truly living in dark times, in a culture of death. And we see in Canada the continued push for expanded euthanasia, in which a doctor becomes an accessory to a patient's self-murder. Such voluntary euthanasia is wrong in itself already. But there is another danger. Voluntary euthanasia almost always becomes involuntary. What is especially frightening is that most of the requests for these so-called mercy killings do not come from the patients themselves, but from the families who frankly are trying to get rid of them. These are only some of the many signs that we are living in a culture of death. And no matter how society wants to look at it, all these things are all forms of murder, violations of the sixth commandment. Beloved, regardless of how the world may think, the life of each and every member of mankind is sacrosanct. Whether that be the child in the womb, the young and the helpless, the elderly and the infirm, the deceased and the disabled, we are all made in the image and likeness of God. And every life is precious in His sight. None can be discarded. All must be preserved. Now, beloved, the first and obvious, clear meaning of this command, you shall not murder, is that we may not physically take another person's life unlawfully. This is always murder, plain and simple. And we have no problem understanding this. But what we quickly realize is that murder is just not some physical act. We could commit murder in many ways and in various degrees, but in the end, it is still murder. Do you ever say anything to hurt someone? Do you ever take satisfaction in another person's misfortune? Do you ever want to make somebody pay for what they have done? Is there someone you just can't stand? Do you ever get angry with others? Do you have hateful feelings towards someone? The point is, there is almost always something murderous about our anger. The Catechism asks, what is God's will for the sixth commandment? We confess, I am not to belittle, insult, hate, or kill my neighbor, not by my thoughts, my words, my look, or gesture, and certainly not by actual deeds. And I'm not to be party to this in others. Rather, I am to put away all desire for revenge. Beloved, the act of murder consists not only in the final act whereby I would take a person's life. It is also any kind of evil that I would inflict upon someone else, belittling them, insulting them, hating them, making fun of them, putting them down, trying to put them in their place, looking down on them as less than ourselves, or dishonoring them. This is even if it is only in thoughts, words, looks, or gestures. We have the expression, if looks could kill. The reality is that in God's eyes, when looks are given to belittle, to insult, to show anger, hate, or dislike for someone, this is still murder in God's eyes. And think about it. How often do we not do these kinds of things without even thinking about it? It comes so quickly from out of our hearts. We can so easily give off looks or gestures of contempt and scorn. All these things are murder before God, rising from a heart that is filled with hatred against our neighbor, and therefore is motivated in its deepest root in enmity against the Most High God, in whose image we have been made. This is why the Catechism, in dealing with this commandment, also deals with the root of murder. Answer 80-106 tells us that by forbidding murder, God teaches us that he hates the root of murder. Envy, hatred, anger, vindictiveness. In God's sight, all such are murder. It is always envy, hatred, anger, and vindictiveness that causes someone to belittle, to insult, or to kill someone. And hatred is certainly one of the key spiritual roots of murder. Hatred is a settled resentment, a permanent and vindictive grudge, a desire to get back at someone. It is really a way of wishing that someone were dead. 1 John 3 verse 15 says, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Hatred of our neighbor is saying, I don't want you in my life. I want nothing to do with you. Hatred naturally leads the person who hates someone to try and remove that person from their life or destroy them. And this can be done both physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Murder is every attack on a neighbor that tries to remove that neighbor, that person, from their rightful and God-ordained placing next to us in life. Bottom line is, murder is not loving your neighbor. This brings us to the Catechism's next question. Is it enough then that we do not kill our neighbor in any such way? And the answer is no. By condemning envy, hatred, and anger, God tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly to him, to protect him from harm as much as we can, and to do good even to our enemies. Beloved, the command, you shall not murder, means much more than just keeping ourselves from physical violence or even from thoughts, words, gestures, and the like. It also means that we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves and to protect them from harm. At the same time that God forbids us to take life unjustly, he commands us to also guard life carefully. It means that if we have an opportunity to help someone and we fail to prevent or protect or save them from suffering bodily harm or injury, it is a violation of this commandment. It's just not talking here about people that we can get along with, but even our enemies. Romans 12 verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another. Verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil. As hard as it is sometimes, it means, as the Catechism says, being patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly to all people. This is the true test of our love and keeping the sixth commandment. Romans 12 verse 20 says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Beloved, few teachings in Scripture are more challenging than this. Love your enemies, bless those who persecute you. We are pleased with ourselves if we love our family and friends, though even this can be a struggle at times. But to love our enemies? What we need to see is that our love of enemies is independent of their rank or attractiveness. None of that matters. The law of God always points us to the fact that we are to love our neighbor. And this love extends from families and neighbors to enemies. It is the will to perform sacrificial acts for others. Love, this commandment also means that we as Christians have a duty and a responsibility and a calling to stand up always as soldiers of the cross for the rights of all human beings and to oppose all forms of murder in our society. We need to intercede on behalf of the child in the womb, the disabled, the elderly. We need to protest abortion in this country and make known to a world around us that this is just plain murder. We need to care for the sick and the dying. We need to send relief to those who are oppressed and persecuted. You know, God's final judgment is inevitable and imminent. But until that final day, it is an age of evangelization, of making disciples of all nations, of the gospel going out in word and in deed. Jesus said in Matthew 5 verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, beloved, like the rest of God's law, we see that the sixth commandment is a lot harder to keep than it seems at first. We hear the words, you shall not murder, and we can think to ourselves that this is one commandment maybe that I've kept. We say it to ourselves, at least I haven't murdered anyone. But as we have seen, there are many ways to break the sixth commandment. And we are all guilty of breaking this commandment. For even if we do not kill others with our deeds, we often dishonor with our words and in our thoughts. And this is a real problem. We read in Galatians 5 verse 20 that anyone who is guilty of hatred, discord, fits of rage, dissensions, factions, envy, and the like will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if we commit murder, even if it's only in our hearts, we still deserve to go to hell. Now, if there was no way for murderers to be saved, then there is no way for anyone to be saved, for we are all murderers. Love, here again we see our great need for a Savior. And the good news is that Jesus Christ is that Savior. He is the one who kept God's law perfectly for us, including, you shall not murder. Isaiah 53 tells us that Jesus was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Jesus offered perfect obedience to the sixth commandment, as with all the others. And for all of us, beloved, who break the sixth commandment, as with all the others, there is hope for each and every one of us in the cross of Christ, in believing in Jesus Christ, always for the forgiveness of all our sins. In closing, belonging to Christ, who in love gave himself for us, may we always go forth in faith as his new creations, striving to live out the sixth commandment in thoughts, words, and deeds, and showing to a world around us that all human life is precious in God's sight. Amen.